Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Rise and shining. Wakey, waking.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
And you.
Robert Scott Bell. You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
If you like the efficiency of the post office, the competence of FEMA, and the compassion of the IRS, we will love the nationalized health care bill.
Robert Scott Bell.
The British Medical Journal accused a researcher, Andrew Wakefield, of outright fraud.
People need to look at the details and not look at the headlines.
This is like Salem, the visceral response that they're trying to whip up in the public to try and crush this dissent.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Filmmaker Brett Leone digs deep into his hundreds of hours of footage from House of Numbers to bring you a never-before-aired documentary that demystifies the gobbledygook thrown out by the perennial inhabitants of the ivory towers that protect the pharmaceutical kingdoms. This hour and next, special AIDS edition. An AIDS special like no other in media on the Robert Scott Bell Show. The Emperor's New Virus is revealed. And Liam Sheff joins me this hour as well. And we've got a host of special guests coming up, including Neville Hodgkinson, Dr. Christian Fiala, all the way from Europe, featuring Dr. Val Turner and Eleni Papadopoulos from Australia. We're making history today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Please check out all the links at robertscottbell.com. Thanks to everybody listening through Natural News Radio who have the courage to hear the truth, the facts, and all that is not revealed anywhere else in media, except where we remind you that the power to heal is yours. We are joined now across the pond, they say, in England with Neville Hodgkinson, and he's a wonderful man. He's actually done a lot of great research and writing on this. He's actually featured in the film House of Numbers as well. Neville, I'm glad to have you back on board the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Very nice to be with you, Robert.
Now you,
and you too, Liam.
Absolutely. We're all glad to be here together with you. So the issue of the House of Numbers movie, which the documentary, which was quite groundbreaking, as you know, how was your experience in that? What you felt you could reveal as such of what came out in that film that continued to expand what you had covered earlier, which we'll talk about?
Well, I was delighted to see it because was most remarkable was the way Brent, the producer-director, managed to put alongside each other the views of the mainstream AIDS people and the questioning by those scientists and others who say that the mainstream has not got this right. And that was really quite remarkable. And I loved the way he unfolded the story, too, as a young man who had grown up with the HIV scare very much in his mind, you know, when as linked to sexual activity of any kind.
Right.
And just what he learned through his discovery.
Yeah, it's sensational. And by the way, your article from 1993 is something we want to get into here, and I have it linked up at the blog at robertscottbell.com. It's titled Babies Give Lie to African AIDS. And this was back in the Sunday Times, major newspaper there in London, back in 1993. How is it possible the Sunday Times would allow what you discovered there, and you'll share what you did discover, to be released in this way?
Well, it was a bit of a story attached to this. When I was first working for the Sunday Times as their medical correspondent, that was roughly between 85 and 90, AIDS was a big story. And although I was a little skeptical to begin with, I came over to the Washington International AIDS Conference in 87 And I came back as a real HIV convert. It was almost like a religious rally. You know, everyone was saying this is a terrible threat. It's spreads secretly. You don't get symptoms appearing for maybe for some years. And so everybody who has any sexual activity, except, you know, if you absolutely know your provenance, is at risk. And I was reporting on those lines and continued to do so until I left the Sunday Times for a couple of years with another job, with another paper, where I wasn't hands-on AIDS reporting. And then I came back 2 years later to the Sunday Times. The other job hadn't worked out so well, but the Sunday Times liked my work. And I came back as science correspondent, a slightly different hat. That job was vacant. And I was surprised to find that with this space of just a couple of years, some of the predictions that I'd been writing about were already not evidently not coming true, to do with the spread and so forth. And there was a colleague, Joan Shenton, a documentary producer.
Yes, we've interviewed Joan here. She's wonderful.
Yeah, she's done great work. And she had told me that there were some scientists in the States who had questioned the HIV theory, but that nobody had wanted to hear, and they'd really been more or less silenced. And I was very skeptical. And when I first looked at a documentary she'd made about this called AIDS, The Forgotten Voices, I continued to be skeptical. I spoke to one of the people involved, but I was quite dismissive in an article I wrote initially, because I felt that evidence from haemophiliacs was pretty conclusive. And when I saw Joan about another issue altogether, she told me, you know, you were wrong to dismiss the critique on the basis of the evidence. It was a paper that had come from our Medical Research Council. They didn't present the evidence properly. I didn't like to hear this, so I looked up the original material. I found she was right. I thought, that's odd. And this led me into looking, wearing this science hat, you know, the change of role. Somehow that helped me to, and the two-year gap, I spent a few weeks intermittently going right into what Joan had presented in her documentary, because I was a bit ashamed that I'd been dismissive. I found that there really was a case. But, you know, my experience was very much the sort of thing that probably many guys in the media have. I put the idea up to our news desk. This is at the Sunday Times, right? I put the idea up to the news editor, who said, oh, for goodness sake, it's going to be a nightmare. You know, you're going to have everybody on your head.
Right.
It's going to be technical argument. Hmm. What's the point? And so, in fact, that's really probably the kind of response that would happen internationally.
Sure,
it's
sure.
It's a complex issue.
Yeah, but normally they would try to shut down any discussion or even thinking that you might make credible that which was not allowed to be discussed at that point. But maybe they thought, okay, you can go down there and discredit this. Or how was it that came about? They ended up sending you down to Africa.
Well, no, it didn't quite. You see, what happened was the news editor was dismissive. He didn't want me to do this.
Right.
And because I had the chance to go into it, I presented a huge memo to the editor on the subject. And the editor said, this is interesting. So we bypassed the news desk.
Nice.
And got run as a two-page spread that first article over in the UK anyway, that indicated to the public that there was any question mark whatsoever about the HIV theory of AIDS. And then all hell was let loose, you know, all sorts of criticism and attacks. You've damaged the public health efforts.
Sure.
This is discredited material, etc., etc. And I couldn't get anything else in the paper for some months because the news editor was cross about all of this.
Sure.
And then we had a change of news editor, and the new guy said, what happened to that story? I said, well, you know, I couldn't get anything else in the paper. He said, well, I found it interesting. So then I started writing more. And in the space of about 2 years, the paper got more and more interested. They published more and more articles on this subject. So it's really often just down to an individual and a supportive editor who was interested at the negative response to that original article, but no refutation of the arguments. So he in the end, he was more or less ring-fencing this for me. But finally he said, well, look, everybody's saying it may not be what we thought it was in America, in Europe, but what about Africa? Africa's, you know, everybody's dying of AIDS.
Right, right.
Go to Africa and tell me what's happening.
Okay.
So that's how it happened that I got sent over there. And I started off in Nairobi, and I found that that there were severe doubts about what about the conventional view, because there was a charity that had been set up for children who'd been diagnosed as HIV positive, and sometimes, because the scare was so great, they were just thrown out of their homes. Hmm. And they were picked up by this charity, and everybody thought that they were going to die within a couple of years, but they were growing up quite happily and going to school, because once they were cared for and properly fed and had love and care, they were doing fine. So this was a big mystery, and I reported on that. But the most remarkable thing I found in Africa was in Tanzania. This was an amazing story, and it's still, I still can't forget the extraordinary unfolding of this story when I turned up unannounced, because I didn't have any phone number. I just had an address in the Bukoba province of northern Tanzania, up on the border with Uganda. And this was a medical missionary, two medical missionaries who'd set up a charity called Partage Tanzania. They'd come from France. They'd wanted to help AIDS orphans. They'd been told that this was an epicenter of AIDS in Africa. They, in their first months, they were shown that you know, that half the local football team had died, that children were in danger of becoming feral, you know, right, going wild because of not having any parents left. And Philippe Krynan, who directed this charity, a lovely guy, a former pilot, he'd retrained in tropical medicine to do this work. He'd issued a report about his findings that went all over the world, and you know, how this tragedy was hitting the country. And it was based on what he was told initially, and also on where some scientists had been over to the region with these newly discovered HIV tests, and had told the people half of them were positive and they were all in the pipeline of death. And this terror had led everybody into the belief that every illness that happened was AIDS and HIV/AIDS, that HIV was responsible. And he bought into that and issued this report. He got a tremendous amount of money as a result. He was flown all over the world by the AIDS industry to speak about this terrific threat. And so tremendous money. By the time I turned up, he'd been there 5 years. And I'd heard that he had some doubts about the validity of the HIV test. And so I wanted to speak to him about that. I turned up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and about 8 o'clock he came out, and I introduced myself, and we sat there. We talked with him and his wife, his co-director, through till midnight, and he gradually unfolded this amazing story. After 5 years, now he'd got 230 full-time employees working for him by this time. He'd been so successful. He had an HIV testing laboratory. He had doctors. He had nurses and health workers. But what he told me was that, having initially believed that the story that AIDS was rampant, he had felt that he had to do some more testing. But people didn't want to be tested because they were terrified that this was going to lead to a problem with social exclusion and to death. So they just preferred not to know. And he told them that, okay, if you agree to be tested, I will provide you with 100% support, nutritional support, drug support, and so forth. And so on that basis, he did further testing. He found that with different test kits, he got different results. He found that actually in some groups, instead of being 50%, it was more like 13%. Hmm. He found that with some other groups, it was more like 2 or 3%. Hmm. But then, because he was supporting the people who tested positive, To his amazement, as the years passed, he found that when they were properly fed and cared for, and when the illnesses that they actually had, like TB and malaria and so forth, were treated, he found that they were doing better and living longer than people who weren't HIV positive. And so over this period of 5 years, by this time, he decided that the whole HIV theory was absolute nonsense as far as he was concerned, working there on the ground. So he got his 230 full-time employees. He asked them, well, how come I was shown these people who were dying and from the football team and the black marks on the doors and so forth? They explained that actually when someone comes with money for AIDS, because we don't have much money in this region, we'll call it AIDS. And so he ended up after midnight, after this long time, he said, Neville, I came here to treat AIDS orphans. After 5-6 years, I've concluded that there's no AIDS and no AIDS orphans.
Well,
All hell broke loose.
Neville, I'm sure. I want to find out what happened next, and Liam is also anxious to get in on the discussion here. Neville Hodgkinson is my guest now on the Robert Scott Bell Show special edition, releasing the House of Numbers extended version in addition to the whether the virus has been ever isolated and more. The testing, as you show, problematic to say the least. And the discoveries of Neville when he visited Nairobi and Tanzania. And, of course, right here, we're going to get into more of that in a current context after this break. Stay with us.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
By the way, if you're interested, we have, and I know you are, Neville's article from 1993 is linked up at the blog at robertscottbell.com. Liam Sheff also has some special connections and links as well up at liamsheff.com. Wants you to check it all out. Neville, grateful for your appearance here today with a very special edition of the show. Liam, before we go back into the story with Neville here, you have some additional information.
When I was first writing at little newspapers in the Northeast, I had an editor named Joe Bonney who was as libertarian and open-minded and intelligent as a person as you could meet. He was wild and argumentative, but he would let you write if you could make a decent argument for it, as long as you could present good evidence, as opposed to preventing good evidence, which is what the New York Times does. And so I was able to publish three I think over the course of, let's see, 5 weeks, three front page pieces, the first on AIDS. The first two were at least 10,000 words a piece, which is unheard of. You just don't ever get that kind of room. And so we were moving stuff around in the back end of the paper to even try to stuff it in. But it was called the AIDS debate, and it came out in three parts. And then the third was on Africa, and I was able to interview Christian Fiala and I think Rodney Richardson to talk about this. But it is to say that, well, then this editor left the business. You know, he went back to school. He had a falling out with everybody. And nobody else, of course, at that point is interested in this kind of thing. And they just want to sell with the normal sex and violence and drugs and, you know, celebrity suicides. I then had just immense trouble getting published at any journal. And they always want to edit and manage and micromanage. And then I lucked into having another guy at the New York Press called Alexander Zajac, who, you know, left there eventually, but was just... He said, you provide the evidence, we publish the story. It was that simple. Everybody else was micromanaging and turning it about, and you can't say this, and you can't say this. It's very rare to find people who are genuinely curious and also have integrity in the publishing business.
It's true. It's so rare. It's really rather amazing.
It's discouraging.
Yeah.
People very, very quickly learn that if they want a paycheck, they're going to have to stop asking questions.
Yeah.
Very often that's the case. And you know what that news editor, his argument that I mentioned, oh, it's going to be difficult, technical stuff, you know, people won't get it, and you're going to get so much criticism. This kind of concern is there, and it's one of the factors that sort of causes a dumbing down of our journalism. It's not easy.
No, but people are brighter than any editor gives them credit for, and people rise to the occasion in any case. There's always some large percentage of the population hungry for more information and tired of who wants to be a millionaire. But you have more important things to talk about. So you broke the story, and then...
Yeah, what happened next, Neville?
Well, this was the scientific community back in the UK had tolerated various pieces that I'd written over this two-year period, uncomfortable, but just seeing it as okay, Sunday Times raising some issues, even with a front-page piece about the unvalidated nature of the HIV test, which they had no response to. It went right across the top of the front page, and it was presented all the evidence, and I'd sent the paper that it was based on around to several virologists beforehand who had no rebuttal of it, but the establishment stayed fairly relatively quiet after that initial outburst over the very first piece that we'd done. But when this report came back from Tanzania, it was run across two pages, and the editor really gave it a big show. It really all hell let loose. The Nature magazine, which considers itself, you know, the best, if not the equal best with science, as the top science journal in the world, they started a campaign to silence the Sunday Times. The editor wrote an editorial saying he'd contemplated sending pickets to our offices to stop us from publishing these articles. A science journal wanting to silence information flow. It just shows what an extraordinarily emotional subject this HIV/AIDS issue has been, and why the illusions have continued for so long. These are not bad people.
Yes.
They're people who value the scientific method, the scientific ethic, and yet when it comes to this, because of the emotion that's attached to it, people haven't been able to behave as normal human beings.
No.
And they've actually considered that it was inappropriate to be normal human beings. They considered that they had to drop their normal scientific standards because any questioning of the HIV theory would damage the public health effort, might be interpreted as being homophobic as well, and that this would be damaging to our societies. So it's a very, very extraordinary state of affairs. But people sometimes say, how could these illusions have continued for so long? These are the kind of factors that have led this to happen.
You actually coined a new phrase there. Instead of science journals, they're silence journals.
Well, I'm afraid that was Nature's response, and I think history will eventually look back on this with some amazement. But at the time, the editor clearly felt outraged by these articles, and in my view, one of the reasons why there is so much sensitivity on the issue is that I think deep down, the scientific community knows that it got this wrong. The statistics haven't stacked up. True, you know, there's been so much misinterpretation of what's happening in Africa that people think that that supports the HIV theory. But it's, as I say, it's really just very bad science from top to bottom over there. And actually refuted by people on the ground, like Philippe Crinon, who ran this amazing charity. And the response of the scientific community, the European community had an AIDS task force. And they sent delegates, after the publication of this article, they sent a delegate across to Dar es Salaam to try to have him thrown out of the country. It was only the intervention of the president of the country that managed to save him. And this is the kind of response that there's been. Silence them because we just don't want to hear this, you know. It's really an astonishing issue.
So this fellow who ran Partage Tanzania wanted to help people, orphans, children, and found that he could help people most by feeding them and helping them have good lives, and that they survived and actually did quite well and better than people who weren't supposedly HIV positive. Is then
that's right. I'm treating the infections that they actually had, you know, like chronic intestinal infections or TB and so forth.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. The things
otherwise
that have existed,
were being redefined as AIDS.
Yeah. Exactly. The things that basically had been around the continent for hundreds, if not thousands, of years, and suddenly were redefined under a new umbrella and ignored.
So this man is threatened with being essentially extradited, excommunicated from the whole business. Because why? Because he's helping people? Because he spoke up against this religion, this terrible, terrible religion. I really consider it a religion, and I think that your story, which is true and valid and certainly printed in the mainstream and validated by everybody who spoke to you, and undeniable and irrefutable, that you can actually help people get better from immune deficiency, which is what we say on the show all the time. There's a difference. HIV is not HIV tests are garbage, but immune deficiency is real.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Montagnier supports this. The guy who won the Nobel Prize for the purported discovery of HIV in Brent's film, very interestingly, he's clearly saying there that Brent asks him, if you nourished HIV-positive people, HIV-infected people, the assumed HIV-infected, if you gave them proper nutrition, would they be able to throw off the virus? He says, I would say so, yes.
Hmm. Yes.
So Montagne himself, the Mr. AIDS, you know, Mr. HIV, the Nobel Prize winner for the whole issue, is telling us pretty much the same thing, and yet nobody wants to hear. It's such a extraordinary thing, really, that when you are telling people that you can save lives with conventional means, like giving people food that they need and conventional medicines, nobody wants to hear. But if it's redefined as part of HIV/AIDS, then fine, you know, then we're very interested. It is a very strange issue. I think Liam's terming this a kind of religion is very appropriate.
I want to follow John Lauritsen and Ian Young and Casper Schmidt and others who really have understood this from the beginning as a recapitulation of some Levitical Judeo-Christian, I don't mean to bang on Judeo-Christianity too much, but you understand what I'm saying, some recapitulation of a commandment, you know, this limitation of an idea of sexuality after the freewheeling 60s and the woe-begotten 1970s, in which all cultural restrictions were apparently let off in the happy or not so happy drug era of this country, at least on college campuses and such. I think there was an idea that everything should be free and so on and so forth, and people ran into a lot of trouble. It's been stated by many in our field of research, Neville's and mine and Robert's, this really rethinking or actually investigating AIDS to see what it is. You understand what it is. It's the same thing that always existed. It's a kind of imperialism that went to Africa, and it's a kind of neglect of certain people or even a suppression of certain people in the culture, namely homosexuals or blacks in America and in the West. So that's the way I see it. I see it as a giant cultural headache.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And once that headache has set in, It's very hard to treat.
Well, yeah, we got a lot of detoxification and deprogramming that needs to happen. And Neville, what you've been doing and writing over the years, you stayed so current. That 1993 article that we reference is just as fresh today as when it was written, and just as valid and viable. And, of course, with House of Numbers release, you're in the film. And, of course, the additional footage that came out, that's what's stimulated our doing the show today. I'm grateful that all the way from the UK that you've been able to join us here. Any in particular message you want to leave off? Anything you've changed? Any signs of life and light beyond House of Numbers, which is certainly turning heads and changing consciousness?
Well, I loved House of Numbers. I thought it was a brilliantly made documentary. And I like very much what Brent has done now with his new work, which seems to me to it's called The Emperor's New Virus? ? An analysis of the evidence for the existence of HIV. And this is, of course, a hugely key question. Was there really, at the basis of this whole scare and the whole of the mega billion-dollar industry that grew up around HIV, was there really a sound basis in science for the belief in this virus? And what Brent does in this latest documentary is go in a lot of depth into a case that has been made. You can't say it's proven one way or another, but it's a brilliant case by some scientists mainly based in Perth in Western Australia who've been working on this for about 25 years. They've published a few papers. Mostly the mainstream journals have turned them down, but they've had good work published, well-referenced articles. And I must say that having followed this field now myself for just getting on for 25 years, I think they've come closest to the truth. And I think Brent's done a great service by analyzing the case that they're making, which inevitably is somewhat technical. But if what I feel should happen happens, this is going to be of extreme value in helping us to move forward. Because what should happen is that the scientific community should acknowledge that there is a question mark surrounding HIV, that it's not going to go away, that there are all sorts of predictions that have failed, that there's a big uncertainty about how HIV causes the illness. Still, after $200 billion American taxpayers' money alone going on HIV research and treatment.
Well, if they only had $201 billion.
And, you know, the scientific community should rise to this challenge and have an investigation to deal with this once and for all. That's my view. And when that happens, this material that Brent has pulled together will be absolutely central to...
Well, We're going to take some tweezers and a magnifying glass to that material and unfold it for the audience. Neville, I just want to thank you again. I'm a big fan of yours, and I'm grateful to you for all of your work.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
That's all Neville Hodgkinson, and I've got links up to the article as well. Thank you, Neville, for being here. We're going to take a break and continue our discussion with something that is undiscussable, but here it is, discussable. We'll be right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now, we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind, and yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today, or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com, and you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Alrighty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
The challenge we have on the HIV/AIDS issue is making the complex as simple as possible. And although House of Numbers is extraordinarily comprehensive, and in many ways it is simple to understand, there are aspects of it. Certainly the Emperor's New Virus, the extended version, particularly in the area of whether the HIV was ever isolated or not, can be very, very complex. So we're going to try and boil that down to some simple things with some of the audio from the clips there. And Liam Sheff and I are going to help you understand it right now. Liam, thanks for helping me do this as well.
You bet. We talked with Neville Hodgkinson, the great, wonderful, kind humanitarian reporter who talked about going to Africa and finding that somebody there, Philippe Krinan, running the Partage Tanzania, the, orphanage or not, we'd call them now, a non-governmental organization.
NGOs, yes.
But then they were just charities going to try to help people there, found that by helping people, by feeding people who supposedly were HIV positive, they actually were much healthier than the people who were supposedly HIV negative in the same area. In other words, it's not the HIV that's the problem, it's the HIV test.
Yes.
The immune deficiency is the problem, you treat it. Well, there's a technical, I said to our friend Neville that the whole thing is been like a giant worldwide cultural headache, this sex obsession.
Yeah, he agreed.
He liked it.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about your cure for a headache, and it made me think that the whole Western world needs an enema.
Yes, a big one. A coffee one, or at least green tea for those that are into that. Listen, we need detoxification. There's no doubt about it. These people still believe in chemotherapy deficiency diseases, of which AIDS, the syndrome, is one for sure. And so that's why they hammer the drugs. But as Neville really pointed out very significantly and pointedly and directly, these people suffer from nutritional deficiencies. Feed them and they get better. And treat the diseases for which have been in existence for hundreds and thousands of years, and yes, they'll be better. So anyway, carry on with this. Some of the audio clips are very telling as well.
Well, Brent Leung, the filmmaker, is putting this out as another hour-and-a-half supplement. Now, exciting news, there's my favorite, it's on a special edition, is on testing, and that's going to be coming out soon, and I think that's just a masterwork, really. In about an hour, you can burn through all of the major test literature on this testing farce and phenomena that we call HIV testing. But he has gone into the wonky world of viral isolation. Does it exist? Is it real? What is it to isolate and purify a virus? He asks everybody who says they did it, what did it mean? What did you really purify? What did you really isolate? The answer is no, we didn't have to. We found an enzyme The enzyme is called loosely reverse transcriptase. You can't hold it in your hand. It's an enzyme. It's a protein. It's tiny. You see its activity in the sense that you'll see some material copied in a way that you don't think it's supposed to be. Well, they now call that normal.
Yes.
Well, it used to be special, but it was going against the central dogma of Watson and Crick that said material could only come out of the DNA. Well, lo and behold, material can go into the DNA. In fact, this is so widely known now that Dr. Maewon Ho calls all genomes fluid, the fluid genome. Mm-hmm. They are modified by diet, stress, toxicological exposure, poisons in the environment, mm-hmm. love, attention, warmth,
sure.
good food, you know, kindness. All of these things affect our genetic expression.
Yes, we go to the work of Bruce Lipton, cellular biologist as well. And this is the first time in the history of medicine that they ever identified a virus or retrovirus by saying, oh, we found some reverse transcriptase. That's evidence that there's the virus.
Well, let's let Brent put the question to two critics. First, we're going to hear from Eleni Papadopoulos, Eliopoulos. Try to say that with a mouthful of
Souvlaki,
yeah. A wonderful researcher. Now, she has a distinctive accent, but you'll be able to understand what she says. And Brent puts the question to her.
So can you prove to me that HIV doesn't exist?
I can show you what the evidence shows, what Montagnier, for example, presented, because everybody accepts that Montagnier is the discoverer of HIV. And I can show you the evidence which Montagnier presented and claims to have proven the existence of HIV. And I will explain to you why Montagnier's evidence does not prove the existence of HIV.
Eleni's a wonderful woman. I swear her voice could be used for a Muppet.
Yeah, absolutely. She's a cartoon character, but she's brilliant.
She really is, too.
But it's very hard to understand. And, of course, she's very egghead scientific, and we acknowledge this. But she's basically saying, Montagnier, what the proof they used was not proof of the viral isolation.
Right. So Brent asked her the question, can you prove it? She said, I can show you the evidence that they use.
Right.
So let's listen to what... And you think, Eleni was, my God, Eleni was like your mother speaking compared to this next one. This is Luc Montagnier. Let's hear.
Good
do
luck.
Your best.
Yes. Ears open.
He didn't describe the electron microscopy as a proof. He described the reverse transcriptase activity as a proof. It was a retrovirus.
Oh, my God. Wait a second. Now, let's do that
serious
again.
Serious translation here.
We did not describe the electron microscopy as a proof. We described the reverse transcriptase activity as a proof that it was a retrovirus. In other words, we took pictures, but they were crap. We didn't get any pure virus. We didn't get anything that bothered T cells. We got some half-budding
debris
and really yeah. half-budding particles, things that are now known as ready normal, as mm-hmm. exosomes, human endogenous retroviruses, viral-like particles, nothing. I mean, commonly occurring in placentas, in mice, in dogs, in you, in me, in your fingertip.
The significance is that the pictures that everybody points to on the HIV apologist side, there they are. Montagnier himself, the discoverer, co-discoverer, Nobel Prize winner, says we couldn't use those pictures.
No, we didn't bother. We used the reverse transcript. Here it is again. Okay, put on your rain jacket and try to understand.
We didn't describe the electron microscopy as a proof. We described the reverse transcriptase activity as a proof. It was a retrovirus.
All right, we described the reverse transcriptase as a proof that it was a retrovirus. Well, what's so special? Let's get into this. Now, here's Françoise Barré-Sinoussi. She works at the Pasteur Institute. She's a co-discoverer of HIV along with Montagnier.
And Inspector Clouseau.
Oh, I'm going to get so much trouble. Je m'excuse. Here's Barré-Sinoussi, who can't look at the camera.
See this visual? She's absolutely having to make this stuff as she goes.
She's clearly embarrassed about a lot of what she's saying because somewhere inside of her is an honest person. Let's listen to her talk about, and then we'll get Don Francis, an American researcher, also one of the pioneers of the field of HIV, telling you exactly how specifically they cared about their virus.
Every 2 days, we were taking the supernatant, looking for the presence of the enzyme that transform RNA to DNA, the reverse transcriptase.
There it is.
Because we know that this enzyme is associated to virus particles.
Wait a second. The enzyme is associated with virus particles. Is it associated anywhere else? Hold on. We'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
Every 2 days, we were taking the supernatant.
Come on, Francois.
That this enzyme is associated to virus particles. So we were testing for this enzyme activity in the supernatant.
What's so special about reverse transcription?
anytime you're searching for a new agent, you want to have some simple measurement of the presence of that agent.
Now, this is Don Francis. He's an American researcher. And listen to how slowly he's trying to explain this. In other words, anytime you're looking for a new agent, you want to find a simpler way to find it. So when you go looking for your car in the parking lot, you don't look for your car. You look for the shadow of your car? Hold on.
Something that your car dropped years ago?
Years ago? Yeah. Let's listen to what Don Francis, a co-discoverer. You know, he does not recognize as a co-discoverer, but he submitted some proteins from his lab that were later added to the glop of proteins that were in Monty's lab and Gallo's lab. I swear. Jay Levy, then Don Francis, and Gallo, they all just kept adding proteins from different experiments, saying, oh, this must be from the same. You can look that up. This must be from the same virus. So how important are those proteins? Not at all. Here's what they looked for.
In times past, you would put it on cell culture in the laboratory, and suddenly these beautiful cells will all start turning into dead cells. You say, oh, something's there. And then you put that into an electron microscope and look, and you can find it. All those are rather...
Hey, wait a second. We could take a picture, but that was in the past.
Right, but we found out that we couldn't take a picture, according to Montagnier.
No, you can't isolate it. You can't purify it. Gallo said it's too fragile. It's too wily. It escapes the... It's camera shy.
It's a vampire. It doesn't appear on camera.
They're difficult things to use. If there's something that the virus produces in this culture, you don't necessarily have to see all the dead stuff. You just can take off some of the liquid it's growing in and test it. And one thing you can test for a retrovirus is reverse transcriptase.
Okay. You don't have to see if this thing that we say is a virus even is there or kills cells. You just have to find you following him. He's taking your tax money. For these guys, for the last 35 years, have taken millions.
Hundreds of millions. And, of course, saying reverse transcriptase. Reverse, and now that you're saying it, it's only to a retrovirus?
Hey, let's let Don tell us the rest, and then we have a very special guest to tell us how very special reverse transcriptase is.
And it just happens to be that's a laboratory test available for it, so you just take a little bit off, put it into a chemical assay, and you can do it very, very simply. So it's a matter of something that you can put a lot of specimens through and something that's simple to do so you can really get a... Maybe not a direct picture of the virus. You can't see it, but you can get evidence that it is there, like fingerprints.
Who needs a picture?
Who needs a picture when you can get fingerprints? But, of course, fingerprints only come from HIV. No, fingerprints come from...
Well, that's the thing. In fingerprints, everybody has a unique fingerprint. Does this one
is reverse transcriptase? This is David Baltimore, who won in 75, you know, Nobel Prize for discovering this thing. He's quite a wonderful guy in the movie. We have a clip where he gets very angry with Brent for being asked if you can actually purify the thing. We'll play that in a minute. But let's just jump here, co-discover. Tell us about reverse transcriptase. Oh, he's at Caltech, if I didn't mention that. You can write him. Write him a love note after this.
No, reverse transcription is actually very widespread. Something like 50% of the DNA in our cells comes about by reverse transcription.
Oi vey?
Huh? Wait a second.
You say oi vey?
I got to do that again. He might have been
I think he was misheard. Let's hear that again.
No, reverse transcription is actually very widespread. Something like 50% of the DNA in our cells comes about by reverse transcription.
But maybe.
When I said 50%, I'm saying 50% of the DNA came about by reverse transcription. But it's not all retroviruses.
Wait a second. You mean more?
The fingerprints looking a little broad
not
and vague.
It's not the retroviruses that broke into my house?
From almost everything.
50% of our DNA is...
He had to be misquoted. We heard him twice now.
Is compiled... No, he'll stand by that.
Yeah.
Is compiled
and
by...
that's how we find HIV. We can't take a picture of it, but 50% of all DNA, reverse... it's only from HIV. What?
Well, you can take pictures of stuff.
Yeah.
But then they have the wonderful... They have the wonderful pictures in the textbooks of this beautiful, angry little thing with all these knobs on it, and that's supposed to be HIV. When we come back, I've got these guys saying those knobs are not even there. They're an artifact of the electron microscopy. This is not even the way it works.
This is World Record, World Breaking News, deconstructing the mythology behind the HIV causation hypothesis of AIDS. It's not looking good for the bad guys there in the NIH and elsewhere. We'll be right back on the Robert Scott Bell Show with Liam Sheff, conspiracy realist, after this.
you're looking for FDA-approved radio, you're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
On bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Back with William Schaff and Robert Scott Bell here on the Robert Scott Bell Show special edition, covering the new Emperor's New Virus extended version from House of Numbers. We've just really isolated the fact that they don't have HIV. No evidence.
No, they have reverse transcriptase, which the Nobel Prize laurate for discovering reverse transcriptase says is everywhere. 50% of our DNA is dependent on it and not through retroviruses. That same guy, David Baltimore of Caltech, when asked about, well, let's let Brent ask the question.
Can you explain the process of HIV isolation?
Well, didn't Dr. Gallo do that? I mean, he actually isolated it, so...
Yeah.
I mean, why should I do all of this?
Yeah.
This is all textbook stuff you're asking me.
Punk.
Brent, what are you doing?
I'm not quite sure what's behind your question about isolation.
No, I don't want to be your textbook.
I don't want to be your...
I got other things to do.
Yeah, buddy. I got to take money from the taxpayer to do fake HIV experiments. The English guy in the middle was Robin Weiss at, I want to say, University of... I'm going to get it. I'll get it. I'll find it. Dr. Robin Weiss is professor of viral oncology, Department of Immunology at University of College London. And he says, oh, the way HIV works in the body is mysterious. There's still a lot of debate as to how precisely HIV causes exit. And he's saying, I don't know what's behind your question about purification,
yeah.
Isolation.
He was getting suspicious, wasn't he?
Yeah. So what about the knobs? Now, this is, again, Eleni. This is, remember, the HIV is supposed to have these knobs on top. That's how it's supposed to grab onto a cell. They're telling you they don't even bother to do that. All that's laboratory stuff. Let's listen to Eleni. What she's going to say is a more recent paper trying to take pictures says in about, listen to this, like point less than 1% of the stuff there could have been a knob, and even that's an artifact of the cell. See if you can understand what she's saying here. Oh, here it comes.
They have found that on the average, after the knobs are released as particles into the fluid, there are 0.5 knobs per particle. And they said even these 0.5 knobs, they may be false positive. That is, there are no knobs at all.
So they're talking, it's wonky, but they're talking about more recent attempts to purify something, to find something, and there's this model of HIV, like a model of Godzilla, like a model of the Loch Ness Monster.
It's like 0.5% she's referencing.
Yeah, the reality, 0.5 is an officer, and that's an artifact of staining, of metals interfering, and she goes on, that is explained in further detail in the documentary, The Emperor's New Virus. Listen to this, here's, I believe this is Hans Gelderblum, the electron microscopist, who during the piece, I believe it's him or one of the other electron microscopists, who says that this is really more an art than a science. You know, this whole mm-hmm. business of killing something, attenuating it, taking a picture with electrons banging into it. What are you looking at? You can get close. You don't quite know. Here's what he says. Now, Gallo and Montagnier and then people who follow them all said they found something different. I swear, they all said they found a different type of virus. He says, well, I'll let him say it.
How come, in your opinion, did Gallo and Montagnier see C-type instead of Lenti when they looked in under their electron microscopes?
Because they had it in the brain.
Oh, they saw what they wanted to see?
Yeah.
Why did they see C-type instead of Lenti? Well, some groups saw a D-type. Sometimes it's like saying, I saw an elephant. No, you saw a horse.
I could have sworn it was a donkey.
Are they different?
Right.
They should be. Yeah. Nobody agrees on what they saw. They had to come to a consensus agreement. Then they said, oh, it's a lentivirus. In other words, it's a slow virus. What does that mean? What's the size, the shape? It's always changing with these guys. There are no knobs. The pictures always change.
It's anthropomorphic.
And don't forget...
No, reverse transcription is actually very widespread. Something like 50% of the DNA in our cells comes about by reverse transcription.
And that's what they used as proof for... Well, let's let Valander Turner, who mm-hmm. works, who's published with Eleni Papadopoulos...
Part of this movie extension.
Right? Let's, in his words, I think he does this nicely.
The problem is that they detected non-specific phenomena. Reverse transcription, particles, and we've seen all the problems with particles, and antigen antibody reactions. And so you can't take a whole lot of things that might be something and turn them into that something. That's the problem. If you're walking down the street, if you walk into an empty space and you find an engine block and a fan belt and a generator lying on the ground, what do you say you've got? Do you know what you've got? I mean, is that a car? Could it be a boat? Could it be a plane? Could it be something someone uses on a farm to lift grain up? It could be all those things. You can't make something specific out of a whole lot of things that are non-specific. So they didn't. They used a whole lot of non-specific and just preferred to believe that this is what they'd found.
And that's right. They found a lot of non-specific, and they've beaten that into some sort of religion where now what you're being tested for when you're tested for HIV are the gobbledygook proteins sucked out of cells from some guys who are sick, mixed with cancer cells, stimulated with mitogens, things that make cells grow and divide. You're taking stuff out of all this, and then you're testing groups of people, usually poor people, gay guys, people going to STD clinics, and you're saying this and totally... wildly non-specific test means that we know you have a specific virus that we never had to purify, but we knew there was reverse transcriptase, and if I can trade a dollar for a hamburger on Tuesday, I'm sure a mule will be worth an airplane on Friday. What? The logical thread just lets go. It doesn't make sense.
Well, and if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. That's the whole point of this. And they've said a lot of things in a very high-tech, gobbledygook-type fashion, utilizing language that they know the average person will not understand. They've got the degrees. They've got the white lab coats. They're the wizards. They wave their wand. Don't ask questions. And remember, he got annoyed with Brent. I don't think I like what you're insinuating.
Why do
here.
I have to do this heavy
yeah,
lifting?
This has already been done. And so you have a complete, how would you say this, a fabrication, a fallacy, a falsehood, an illusion that has captured much of the whole world into a belief system that is not based on sound science.
Well, it's like the mass and all things used to be done in Latin, and there was a mystery to them. But I think that when you get to that level of wonkiness, when you describe it in plain language, it all kind of falls apart. The mystery goes away. When you go, oh, you're just people. I think Robin Weiss, again, one of these HIV experts, said it better than I could on his own behalf.
I think my scientific reasoning was perfectly correct.
But I was deluding myself nonetheless.
Well, now I did take him out of context. He's saying that he believed that HIV couldn't have been a virus of a particular kind. But, you know, leave it to an egghead. That's just perfect.
That's okay. Let's take a break here. We're going to come back next hour, and we'll be talking some more on this subject. By the way, the video is available for free, the extended part of it for you, if you want to see it in total. At robertscottbell.com, we have the links up there as well. We'll be right back with more powerful healing on a subject that no one else in media will cover in this way. Thank you, Liam, for being here. Thank you all. Remember, the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The information on the Robert Scott Bell Show has not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration and is not intended to prevent, cure, treat, or diagnose any disease. Nah, just kidding. As far as we're concerned, the FDA can kiss our
ass. Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Oh, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Continuing now with a special edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show, Liam Sheff, the conspiracy realist, joins me again to tackle the science or lack thereof behind the whole AIDS, HIV causation paradigm. Dogma, belief system, religion, cult, what is it? The release of additional footage, The Emperor's New Virus, by our friend Brent Leung in his film House of Numbers, has come out and coinciding with this presentation. And we are now fortunate to have with us, all the way from Europe, on the Robert Scott Bell Show, Dr. Christian Fiala. He's a specialist in obstetrics and gynecology, a general practitioner. He's been at it for many years, and I've interviewed him here on this show as well. And he's done an extraordinary amount of work in really getting to the facts and the truth behind the myths and the mythology that are harming many people in the so-called AIDS paradigm. And Liam, I'm so pleased that you're here with me as well. Dr. Christian Fiala, welcome back to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well,
pleasure to be back.
We're both, I'd say in American terms, stoked to have you with us, because there's a lot that we need to uncover in this regard.
Well, I'm happy to contribute to
I'm
this.
I'm happy that you're here.
It is extremely important for global public health and for the people out there to understand how they are being fooled.
Mm. Christian, I'm very happy that you're here. Surfer Robert can be stoked, dude. I'm very pleased. Ich bin, what would we say, glücklich?
Yes,
very happy that you're here.
Thank you.
I was able to interview. Christian was one of the authors who I read who was formative, I think, for me in understanding some of the data coming out of Africa. When I began to explore this rigorously 10 years ago, Christian's papers were clear, thoughtful, to use that much blighted term, evidence-based. In other words, they were chasing what was happening on the ground. So when we were hearing about, millions and millions and millions and millions of people dying, he was actually working in Africa and working with families and working in family planning and saying, well, actually, the problem we have here is called poverty. And if you look at, I won't take all the words or put any words into or take any out of his mouth, but he's made excellent points talking about Uganda and the legacy of Idi Amin, where the UN and World Health Organization come along and say, oh, you're sick, you have diarrhea, you have AIDS. Hmm. Maybe we can get into that during the conversation.
Sure. And Dr. Fiala, you as a clinician, you know, as a doctor that actually sees patients and has observed these things firsthand, respect that immensely, and that you recognize the common denominators in these people so-called claim to have AIDS based on a test which really can't detect that which they claim to detect. And that had to be something that was really strange, you being a scientist as well as a physician.
Well, yes, entirely. Thank you for the flowers. And I think we as doctors, we not only have a responsibility towards our patients to treat them in the best way possible, but also to explain them and in a way to translate the medical terminology and the medical knowledge in a language which can be understood, because otherwise it will be difficult for non-medical people to live their life in the best way. And indeed, this HIV test is very strange, unique in medicine, and to the point that is actually not only unusable, but dangerous and leads to totally wrong conclusions. And such a test would not be accepted in any other field in medicine.
Well, it's a very important point to make. And so many men and women and children, if we speak of Africa, have been led to what I believe premature deaths based on the idea that a test that may or may not even been given that can test positive for so many things. And Liam has been on this program many times talking about that. You know, the very fact that you're in obstetrics and gynecology, you know, pregnancy is one of these prime things that can set you up for a positive test result. And what does that end up in Africa? Of course, it meant that they were put on antiretroviral drugs, and we've covered on this show as well the horrific trials that happened in Uganda with nevirapine and what was happening there as well. And we look at none of these people were suffering from drug deficiency diseases, but all had a common denominator factor, whether it be a lack of hygiene, sanitation, nutrition, etc., and that their guts, if you will, were destroyed by any of, or all of those things.
Totally. I mean, if you really have to go back to the basics of this so-called HIV test, and just one important information which is given by the producer, the company Abbott, they write in the product information, and I quote: "This is what they publish. At present, there is no recognized standard for establishing the presence or absence of antibodies to HIV in human blood." Mm. End quote. So this is really a very, very strange information given. And to make it more understandable for non-medicals, I would like to translate the meaning of this information into a pregnancy test. It would read like, at present there is no recognized standard for establishing the presence or absence of a pregnancy in a human. And probably if you would go to a pharmacy and to buy a pregnancy test, and you would be given that information about the pregnancy test you are actually spending money on, you would probably not trust the result, and you would probably ask yourself, why the hell is a company selling a test when they can't even verify the presence or absence of what they claim they are testing with that test?
It occurs to me, Dr. Fiala, if the so-called pregnancy tests were as reliable as the HIV test, that men would regularly be testing positive as being pregnant throughout the world.
Something like that, and for sure such a pregnancy test would be taken off the market immediately.
Yes.
Not only, and you can bet that thousands, virtually millions of people who have been tested in the past would sue the company for good reason.
Right.
And actually, that's what is really missing. Why are all these thousands of people who have been diagnosed, given a deadly diagnosis based on an unspecific test, why don't they actually go to court and sue the company?
Well, now that we've established, and I think correctly, that the HIV test is fraudulent, it is, and there are thousands of citations from the medical literature. You can go through pages and pages on various websites like ReduceTheBurden.org or the Alberta Reappraising AIDS Society and look through the citations on HIV testing with your own eyes. But, Christian, when it was pointed out to me by yourself and by Rodney Richards, and then I was able to corroborate this in the mainstream press without any trouble, how exactly large statistics, HIV statistics, were arrived at, it seemed that they were seeking the outcome that they they were making sure they got the outcome that they were seeking. Do you know what I'm talking about? Remember how they come up, how they test, let's say, 4,000 samples and they come up with 5 million. Do you know that method?
Well, this so-called HIV test is very unspecific. It is positive if a person has some certain antibodies, and these antibodies are not specific to some disease, but they can react positive even after a flu vaccination, which the company, by the way, admits itself in the product information. So the more antibodies a person has in his body, the higher the risk that some of these antibodies will react with this test, and therefore it is easy to understand that people living in poverty have a much higher risk to test positive in this test, because if you live in poverty, it means that you have an abundant amount of infections, chronic infection, constantly infecting, then the risk is higher that you test positive. And that is one of the reasons why people in Africa have a higher percentage of positive test results. And it is also a reason why women have a higher risk, especially in Africa, because they have many children. And with every child you have a challenge to your immune system. And therefore, the risk to produce antibodies, and some of these antibodies can then react with this HIV test.
That's exactly right. That comes forward in the medical literature over and over again. What I found rather devastating or incriminating was the social practice, where it went like this. These tests are expensive relatively to produce, and there are tens and tens and hundreds of millions of Africans, and the good men and women in the white lab coats certainly couldn't go, right? This is their excuse, couldn't go and test them all. So they would go to where blood samples could be collected. And, of course, there aren't this out in the bush or out in some of the urban ghettos, you just don't have the medical infrastructure or social infrastructure that you have here in the West. So they would go to the antenatal clinics where women, young women, had gone, right, to make sure that they didn't have a deadly disease, syphilis. So they had given blood while pregnant to make sure they didn't have syphilis. Then the UN, the white coats came along, as I call them, and they take the blood. They perform blood tests, rapid HIV tests, which come up positive for pregnancy and malaria and tuberculosis and sneezing and mice and dogs and cats. And then they take 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 leftover blood samples and project the percentage that they got
onto the general population.
So if 20% or 30% of the leftover blood samples that women testing for syphilis while pregnant had a reaction strong enough to convince people that it meant something, then 30% of South Africa had, 30% of Uganda, 30% of Zaire. And that's where those giant numbers came from back in the 90s.
That is entirely correct. But there are two additional scandals within this, which are frequently not recognized as such. One is that the blood samples are taken from pregnant women in the first place, because that is one of the information you get even from the producer in the product information, that multiple pregnancy can lead to a positive reaction, a false positive reaction in an HIV test. Now, in Africa, the average number of children is about 7. And obviously, if you go to an antenatal clinic, you have multiparous women there predominantly. So in the first place, these women should be excluded, if anything, excluded from an HIV test, because even the producer of the test recognizes that this part of population has a high risk to give a false positive reaction on this test. But they are not excluded, but they are only these women are being taken. So on this wrong sample, they do the studies on this wrong sample, and then they project it to the general population. And a second very interesting detail is in relation to the syphilis test, which you mentioned. These antenatal screening tests were originally initiated partly to discover syphilis and then treat these poor women. Now we have the syphilis result of all these women which have been tested for HIV. And guess the big surprise? There is absolutely no correlation between a syphilis test and a positive test in the HIV test. In other words, we know that syphilis is sexually transmitted, and therefore it's spread sexually in the population. And you would say, okay, if there is a sexually transmitted disease and a person, whoever that is infected by one of the known sexually transmitted diseases, this person automatically would also be at risk, increased risk for another STD. Another sexually transmitted disease. And what is interesting, wherever you go, in whatever country you go, there is actually absolutely no correlation, meaning those women who are test positive in syphilis don't test positive in HIV, and those women who test positive in HIV, they don't test positive in syphilis. And this indicates to the fact that whatever it is not transmitted in the same way. And we know that syphilis is transmitted sexually, so
Dr. Fiala, this goes to the heart of whether this so-called AIDS, whatever it is a sexually transmitted disease or not. We've argued that it is not. There's no evidence to support it. You're just strengthening that argument. We need to take a quick break. Dr. Christian Fiala is our guest. He's calling in from Europe today. Liam Sheff, the conspiracy realist, is with me as well as we are celebrating, acknowledging the release of additional footage from House of Numbers, the Emperor's New Virus. Does it exist even? That's a question we may have to get into a little bit as well. And we'll talk to Christian Fiala more about what the so-called scientific community did to he and a number of other doctor scientists, a paper that they had published. It is fascinating. Stay with us. We're coming right back after this break.
Why do you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show?
Bravery and integrity is amazing, and it's much needed.
I love, love, love your show.
I love the show, like all the things that you're doing with Mike Adams and all the writers at Natural News.
To be quite frank with you, I think the show is the biggest breath of fresh air we've found.
Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
All the links to the things we're discussing today on the Robert Scott Bell Show are up there at robertscottbell.com, including the extended footage from House of Numbers on the Emperor's New Virus. Dr. Christian Fiala is our special guest today. Liam Sheff, the conspiracy realist, is in studio as well, covering a very important subject, if there ever was one, about the pulling the wool out of over the entire planet. About an immune deficiency syndrome that is claimed to be caused by a retrovirus. I've said never actually caught in the act of doing anything. And as Christian Fiala, Dr. Fiala is saying, that the tests don't even identify whether it's present or absent, much less if the antibodies are present or absent. We're going to talk also about the fact that there was a paper that was published in the peer-reviewed journals that was asked to be withdrawn as well. But Liam, what about this new footage? How do we put this into context?
Right, The Emperor's New Virus. Brent Leung is the filmmaker, and he's releasing this a couple years after the release of the film proper. It's about an hour and a half, and it's Brent talking with the tops of their field in virology, retrovirology. David Baltimore, Robert Gallo, Donald Francis, the guys credited with inventing the AIDS field. And what Brent discovers, and then talking to some critics, Eleni Papadopoulos and Valander Turner from Australia, who say that the current evidence doesn't indicate that they really ever had a particular thing there. They never purified anything. They don't have anything causing a depletion of T cells. So really, what are they talking about? This is clearly a multifactorial illness. It's not a one cause. There's no little bug eating T cells. That's nobody's ever demonstrated that. I mean, that's to say a lot. That's like saying that, I don't know, it would be tantamount to saying that you found the cause of cancer and it's Cheerios because some people who eat Cheerios get cancer. Well, right. You can't make that statement. It's insane, and anybody can see how crazy it is to make such a broad statement. So what Christian was talking about were tests that come up positive for essentially everything, any antibody. And the question has to be why. The movie explores that a little bit in getting to the idea that the stuff that the tests are made of were just these cellular slurries filled with, yes, some broken proteins and some budding particles, but nothing that ate T cells, nothing that could be purified, and nothing that was ever demonstrated to affect the human being in the way that was advertised. In fact, the movie hammers a lot on the idea that from top to bottom, the entire techno-AIDS field lives in the realm of what they call surrogate markers, like a surrogate mother, something standing in for something else. Mm-hmm. They never... Oh, Donald Francis, you know, who's credited with discovering some of the HIV proteins, comes along and says, well, if you want to find a virus, you can't really find the virus. You just find some surrogate markers. That's like saying, I'm going to sell you my car, but not really the car, just that, the shadow on the ground there, that's really my car, even though you don't see the car. Trust me, I'm a scientist. The shadow is the car. You go, no, it's not. Get away from me. I'm not giving you any money. But these guys hide in their ivory towers, and they say, surrogate markers. So from the very top, no virus, just some enzymes, reverse transcriptase, which they later admit you find in 50% of every one of your, is responsible for 50% of your DNA. So how can that be responsible for a virus that kills you? If it's responsible for 50% of your DNA, it's enough. It's a mishmash of guys making stuff up, and you can even tell when they're looking at the camera, when Françoise Barres-Sinoussi from the Pasteur Institute, I believe, is looking. She can't even look at the camera.
No, it's clearly all the tells of a lie. Absolutely. And so, Dr. Fiala, you know, as we reference these things from the additional footage, nothing seems to be new for those of us that have been, you know, observing this. But if we're talking to a new audience that's never heard this, how do you relate this?
Well, that is actually the most astonishing aspect of this whole scientific debate, that there is nothing new since at least 15 or 20 years. Everything we know, all the predictions who didn't come true, everything we knew that 15, 20 years ago. And the whole AIDS story is actually a huge deception of the population, a huge deception, especially for sick people who have been wrong wrongly given a diagnosis which is not helping them but killing them. And it's also a huge deception for homosexual men out there who have been killed to a large extent with toxic drugs. And but if you look back into history, unfortunately, I have to say that being a scientist myself, the history of science is full of similar deceptions and full of other examples where a popular belief was completely wrong and killed many people. Just think about bloodletting. One of your presidents, I think it was Washington, was killed by bloodletting after a horse riding accident. So unfortunately, this AIDS, bogus AIDS science, is totally in line with historic experience. And, it is therefore very, very important that we get over it and that we try to get as close to evidence-based science as we could possibly.
I feel it's incredibly important for anybody who's been given one of these HIV test results to, number one, ignore it. Absolutely ignore it. Contact the Office of Medical and Scientific Justice and sign up for any possible class action lawsuit, because you've been lied to and the government is lying to you and they know it. Anytime that the OMSJ has gotten an HIV expert in court, they fall apart. They're not used to being questioned under subpoena, having to swear to tell the truth. When they do, they admit that the tests don't test for any particular thing. Nobody, therefore, is HIV positive. There are plenty of people with immune deficiency, though, entirely different phenomena. To be immune deficient is can be very serious.
Well, and it's a very real issue, and I think that needs to be said here. Dr. Fiala, nor does Liam or myself claim that there's no immune deficiency out there. And nobody who questions the cause of AIDS has ever said, oh, there's no such thing as immune deficiency. But the argument is twisted to make it seem, to marginalize those who hold a view that is at all different than the so-called consensus mainstream, which could often be wrong. I mean, we've seen case in points in history when most of the world believed, or the people on it believed, the world was flat. And it didn't matter that that was consensus and the mainstream of everybody in the church said it is. It changed when the facts became so overwhelmingly obvious. And in this case, we're going to see that as well. But, Christian, you had a paper that was published in peer-reviewed journals, and it's a fascinating thing. I have the link up for those that want to read it at robertscottbell.com. I put it up there for you. And it goes to the heart of this issue that they were saying that because of what was in the article was, they called it radical, speculative, and non-mainstream scientific ideas. I mean, is that how science operates, by staying within a box?
Well, that is exactly what is so dangerous in this bogus AIDS science, that it turns AIDS into a belief system and into an ideology. And it is totally outrageous and unheard of that a scientific article is withdrawn and censored because of the opinion it expresses. And by the way, we are in this article together with other colleagues. We don't express opinions. What we did simply was to take the predictions of an AIDS epidemic for Africa some 15, 20 years ago, and we compared it with public health data of today. And surprise, surprise, the predictions didn't come true. So as a conclusion, we said, okay, if the predictions didn't come true, there must be something wrong with the assumptions of the predictions made some 15, 20 years ago. And one of the assumptions was that there is an HIV, a new virus, which is killing people. Obviously, that didn't happen. And it is really very sad, and I feel a little bit in Soviet Union times, being told that facts which can clearly be demonstrated don't fit into the belief system and are therefore censored. And this is what is happening. And by the way, it is the only article you can find on the American National Library of Medicine that has been censored because an opinion is perceived as being dangerous regardless of the evidence which is presented in this paper. I think that is a real, real serious precedent.
Right. This is witch hunting and burning of books. This is what this is the equivalent of in recent history. And you can see pictures of either the Nazis burning books, or you can see groups here in the United States in the 50s burning piles of records when John Lennon said something that the public didn't like. So, you know, you can always stoke a bonfire with fear.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, in retrospect, we think, oh, Galileo, that must have been weird times. And it is strange that it took the Pope 400 years to recognize that what Galileo said, that the center of our system is the sun and not the earth.
Right.
And you think, oh, no, but that is a thing of the past that could never, ever happen today. Now, censoring a scientific article which is presenting evidence, to censor such an article in the National Library of Medicine is nothing short of burning someone at the stakes some 400 years ago, or telling Galileo to shut up and put him in a room.
Right. Well, the evidence is clear to me that censorship happens, and it happens especially in the realm of a very profitable, let's say, research arenas that play themselves out pharmaceutically. The pharmaceutical conflicts of interest, they're all economic. We have seen since the war on cancer was declared by President Nixon then in the early 70s, we've got more cancer, not less. And, of course, the multi-billion-dollar research industry keeps chugging along, as then the AIDS industry was added on top of that. So to question it is basically to question the lifeblood, if we will, of an economic engine or entity that may or may not have any interest in finding a cure, much like the cure for cancers that are suppressed from the botanical world, from the homeopathic world, from the detoxification world or context or concept, all the things that can also reverse immune deficiency. They are not found in a pharmaceutical synthetic agent, that which is toxic to the body. They are found in restoring stasis or balance of function to the body's organs that have been corrupted by either toxicity or deficiency.
Well, censorship is always, always a sign of weakness.
Yes.
There's no way around. And especially in science, if the opinions we presented in this article, namely showing there is no such thing like an AIDS, deadly AIDS epidemic going on in Africa, there are many sick people, they are mainly sick from poverty and poverty-related preventable diseases. But if we would be wrong, it would be so easy to show that we are wrong. There would be absolutely no need at all to censor an article because it is presenting wrong things. In fact, censorship runs totally against science and scientific thinking.
Well, on the contrary, Christian, what the mainstream has done and we will get into this maybe in the next segment, is to constantly rewrite its predictions and the numbers that they think are infected while still claiming that they always are telling the truth. So they get to change their mind all the time. And nobody censors them and nobody really listens. Nobody holds them up to a constant grading point.
Well, exactly. So let's take a quick break here, and we're going to be back after we catch our breath. Dr. Christian Fiala joins us for one more segment from Europe. Wonderful man, wonderful physician and scientist. We appreciate him very much. And as we have the links to all the footage, including the paper that was withdrawn, I want you to review that as well. And we'll get well beyond the limitations of box thinking and scientific consensus, which is degraded into something else. And Dr. Fiala will tell us about that after we get back from this break.
Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only five-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my five-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us, 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert Bly.
He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's a brave and a decent man. He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Once again, for those of you who have not seen House of Numbers, we've got the links to the new footage, especially related to the Emperor's new virus. Has the virus, the retrovirus they call HIV, ever even been isolated? That is a valid question, a viable question, but even more so, the three of us here on the show today really believe in helping people, so we don't want to overwhelm the scientific discussion or arguments, but acknowledge them. But really, what is the human element here? The danger we've mentioned of the testing that doesn't actually detect what they claim to detect, presence or absence, and other dangers of censorship, of scientific inquiry, etc. And Liam, of course, you've been following and writing about this for many years as well, and we have Christian on for one more segment. So go ahead, Liam.
Yes, I began writing about this in earnest in 2002 or 2003, and I was both praised and criticized. I did as accurate research and reporting as I think was possible to do, and I was wondering, you always ask yourself, is this the right thing? Am I looking at the right information? And I believe I was heartened or maybe disheartened, you tell me, when I looked at the front page of the Boston Globe, which would have been an AP story going around the country, fall of 2004, an article, and the author is just going to escape me right now. I used to know it. It might have been Solomon, I'm not sure. But the article was quoting UNAIDS and World Health Organization statistics, which suddenly announced that their estimates for many African nations for HIV/AIDS, they just bundle them together like they're the same thing. Of course, they're not. Were going to be halved. Halved. That's like saying that the number of people we say die of cancer and have cancer, we were wrong, but only by 50%. So they're talking about an entire continent. And there was somebody called James Chin, who was, I believe, at, let's see, was he at the World Health Organization?
Chin?
Yeah. He was he was responsible for the figures, for the data,
epidemiological
data.
Yeah.
Right. At UNAIDS.
At UNAIDS. And he comes forward and he's saying, essentially, here's what we do. We take the leftover blood from pregnant women. This is how we do it. We project it onto countries. So if the beginning assumption is wrong, the end assumption is wrong, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, they're lying. They're lying through and through. Anyway, that was the mainstream. Now, from year to year, through the first decade of the 21st century, you would see AIDS statistics being halved or down 7%. There was something in, I think, Swaziland, down 81% overnight. Imagine if you could erase heart disease 81% just by changing the number.
India, that was the big thing. It went down by millions.
Right, millions of people.
Yeah.
And then James Chin came forward and was interviewed in the movie House of Numbers, and he talked about how the numbers are made, and he said it's a lot like making sausage. You don't want if you don't want to know what's in it. So,
right.
Anyway, so if Christian has something that's censored in the PubMed, it's exactly the same information and material as has been in the front pages. The UK Guardian, and what was it, 07? The heterosexual AIDS epidemic threat is over and has been overestimated.
Yeah, right. Well, the reality, it never happened, but that's...
Never happened.
Yeah. But yeah, as you said, it's in the media. Christian Fiala and other scientists publish these facts, and they get, pulled as being, I don't know, some sort of hysterical
essentially a witch.
Yeah.
A practitioner of dark magic.
Yeah. For pointing out the facts that the media had already covered, just putting them all together and reassessing based on that.
By drawing a conclusion.
Right.
Instead of just saying, oh, it's all the same, except it's all different, there's Christian and his colleagues say, hey, wait a second.
Dr. Fiala, what are you to make of all of this? What is your assessment? How would you describe what science has become then?
Well, first, let me confirm what you said. I think our empathy really goes to sick people,
yes,
and to the general population, which has been fooled, and we have to become aware that we have been deceived. We have been deceived by science and by medicine, and it's not an easy thing for me to say, being a scientist and a doctor myself. But that's what has happened. And it is only if we admit that we can go forward and find a way out. And I think one thing is we have to see that science actually has replaced religion. It is a science, as at least bogus science like HIV AIDS, is working very much like religion. You have a pope somewhere who is not democratically elected, who has just been nominated, and if you contradict, you're being kicked out, you are banned, and there is just a total lack of transparency. And knowledge is not accessible by the general population. And if someone speaks out, like the colleagues and myself who published this article on non-existence of an epidemic AIDS spread in Africa, then this is being censored. So if you think about, there is really a surprising parallel between a religious belief system like the Catholic Church and a bogus science like HIV/AIDS. And I think that the challenge that lies in front of us is to bring science back to its true values. To really bring evidence-based science in the forefront and stick to the facts and have an open discussion, to a transparent discussion of facts, even if these facts are contradictory. There is no way around discussing contradictory facts. Actually, that's the only thing that brings us forward. The only thing we can really help sick people, and people are suffering. There's no question. Many, many people are suffering in this world, but we don't help these people if we rename their disease, just give a new name, a new label, and now call it AIDS and give them toxic drugs. That's not how we're going to help sick people in this world.
No. Dr. Fiala, we know here in the United States that this has largely been censored in the media, and those who have brought it up are attacked or somehow marginalized, ridiculed, or otherwise. Do you see the same thing for those in America that aren't aware that this is a global phenomenon, that scientists, doctors are waking up all over the world? Is there the same level of ignorance and arrogance and attacks on doctors such as yourself who have brought these points to be considered?
Yes, unfortunately, the fact is, the underlying explanation is that bogus science like AIDS science is a belief system, and unfortunately people believe in all kinds of things all over the world. But there has been, in the recent years, there has been a tremendous change, for the simple reason that people get more and more aware that the predictions they have been listened to for the last 20 years don't come true. There is no epidemic. Heterosexuals continue to live. Africa has doubled its population in the last, I think, 20 years. There is no sign of an increased mortality. People are dying, unfortunately, and suffering, but just in the same numbers as before. There's nothing new. And most of all, our sexuality, our sexual life is safe. We don't die from our sexuality. That has been a damned lie, and people have been fooled about that. And you see the reaction, especially in younger people, who say, oh, just stop this nonsense. We don't see anyone dying. Why should we be afraid in our sexual life? Let us alone. We want to discover our sexuality. It's a very intimate and private thing. It gives us pleasure and satisfaction. Just let us alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the great crime against humanity is against the human psyche, which is to take old Levitical recycled bits of the Ten Commandments and reasserting them in some sort of pseudoscientific guise. Just another thing for people to be terrified about. Look, sex is dangerous in its own way, mostly for psychological and emotional reasons. You know, you get bound up with somebody and you have to contend with the relationship or the fallout of one that doesn't work, and that is heavy stuff. To then create some phantasm inside of it, to have some doctor tell you you're going to die and they know it because the test that you took, they don't tell you anything real about it. It's enough. I really want people to throw off the HIV shackles and to deal with their actual clinical health. I want everybody who's been given an HIV test to go back to their doctor, hand the piece of paper back and say, I don't accept this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they should ask for evidence and ask for the product information. But the trouble is actually that the sexual morals of in the AIDS area are just a remake of Christian sexual morality. It's exactly the same thing, just in another envelope.
Well, certainly puritanical.
Yeah, it tells you shouldn't have sex for pleasure. When under Christianity, it was in the afterlife, and now it is in this life. And you should, in the Christianity, you should have sex only for procreation. Here, you should have sex only with a condom, which is totally unfeasible for most people.
Dr. Fiala, how many babies have you delivered over the years, brought into the world?
Oh, don't ask me. I'm working since more than 20 years in all fields of obstetrics and gynecology.
Would you say thousands?
Yes, of course.
Well, okay. Yeah, you say valuing what we're doing here and trying to bring this out. I don't want any more children or generations duped by false science or, you know, this false religion parading as science that, you know, part of the human experience is going to kill you. This doesn't mean we're arguing for practices that are obviously unhygienic and dangerous for their own right. And as Liam has also rightly brought up, psychological and emotional reasons why you need to be mature enough to be able to do these things. But if we talk in terms of energy centers of the body from a Eastern perspective, we look at the lower energy centers of the body, and there's a function for them, and we've got to understand how to deal with them in a healthy fashion.
Yeah.
Well, most people know how to live their own sexuality. They don't need a teaching of a state to interfere in this most intimate part of their life. And I think, as Liam said, it's a crime against humanity that a whole generation has been scared to death in this most intimate experience. And for nothing.
Yeah.
For nothing. There is no heterosexual spread nowhere in the world. And I wrote a book on it, Do We Love Dangerously? And the answer is clear cut. No, we don't love dangerously.
Well, that's why I said I want people who've been given this to take their test result, walk it back into their doctor and say, I don't accept this. You mm-hmm. walk right out. You're not yeah. HIV positive anymore.
Mm-hmm. Nullify them. Dr. Christian Fiala, it's so great to have you back on board here today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And hopefully we can talk to you some more as this evolves. It continues more and people discover it. With your willingness to speak out and write about these issues, it's helping many. And I'm greatly appreciative of your work.
Thank you very much for the honor to be on your show, and good luck, and looking forward. All the best. It's an important work you do, and you are one of the few sources of uncensored information.
Yeah, that's it. And so we'll continue on as long as we can. And we don't ask for permission where none is required. And on this issue, the so-called pseudoscientists that claim to have the mantle of science who do not, their permission is definitely not required. Dr. Christian Fiala, and of course, we have Liam Sheff here. Thank you both for being with me today.
It was a pleasure.
And by the way, Liam, as Christian is taken off now, but I would have to say, I don't want anybody to feel like there was any religion bashing. The only religion we're bashing is the religion of scientism. Throughout history, you know, thousands of years of recorded human history, religions have had different ways to want to control their followers. In an organized religion, we can recognize this. And of course, there have been imbalances in regards to the human experience as well. But many religions have had aspects of this that were imbalanced, I think, and so I don't want anybody to believe that Dr. Fiala was bashing Christianity specifically, but it's a European experience or viewpoint, I think.
Well, he's speaking out of Central Europe, and Central Europe had to suffer the plague of witch burning and the plague mm-hmm. of chasing women, essentially, for being, I don't know, either sexually independent or mature or adventurous. There really was a book called The Malleus Maleficarum, or The Hammer of the Witches, which taught people how to spot a witch in their midst. And, of course, the best way to spot them is they deny they're witches, and if you put them in water, they float. You know, yes. It's that kind of stuff.
It gets to Monty Python-esque absurdities.
Except that it was real.
Yeah.
And so what he's talking about can be found in any fundamentalism. In all fundamentalisms, there is an incredible restriction of who you can and cannot mate with. Mm-hmm. In Judaism, in Islam, in Hinduism, I have
sure.
Hindu friends who find it to be, you know, they have to get away. It's so constricted. So I would take it as an historical note to look at what the AIDS thing has done is to recapitulate a kind of Levitical Old Testament tightness and fear-based, don't touch them, don't mm-hmm. look at them, you know,
sure.
instead of go carefully, but it's your life.
Right. Well, freedom, again, spiritual freedom, too. And that's a big part of what we are here as we cover healing on all levels. And again, historical time here is more footage released from House of Numbers. And we urge you all to view it. And we'll have, and this is also I don't know if it's a Crib Notes version, but also an easier access because some of it gets pretty egg-headed. And that's difficult. I don't want anybody to get lost in the minutiae to understand the bigger picture here, that what we're talking about is salvaging life and liberty, if you will, by talking truthfully and factually and fearlessly about a subject that brings on a lot of marginalization, ridicule, and attack simply for discussing it.
And I mean what I say when I say that anybody who's ever been given an HIV-positive diagnosis, take the piece of paper, walk it back to your doctor, put it on the desk and say, I don't accept this, and then figure out how to take care of your actual health.
Yes, bottom line, healing. And, of course, that's what we'll do. We're going to do some more after this break. But thank you for being here with the Robert Scott Bell Show. Liam Sheff, Dr. Christian Fiala. We'll be back after this. Stay with us.
Giving the pharmaceutical industry cardiac arrest.
Clear.
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit SovereignSilver.com.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here inviting you to check out the Natural News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it. Because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Been quite a journey on the Robert Scott Bell Show today, special edition covering the HIV/AIDS dogma like nowhere else in media, as we have been for many, many years. I want to thank Liam Sheff, the conspiracy realist, for helping make sense of it all, because it's a lot of egg-headed science as well involved in the added bonus edition to House of Numbers, the Emperor's New Virus, as it relates to viral isolation. Did it happen? Clearly, questions, no answers. Well, we will let you listen to it again and decide. But Liam, man, what did we accomplish today?
Well, we helped our good friend and honorable filmmaker continue to get out this message that he's been
Brent Leong.
You know, I mean, this. I don't even think he's 30 yet. I don't know how he did.
Right
this
around
in his
there,
20s.
Yeah. That's amazing.
He started. He worked on this, I think, for 5 or 6 years before it even came out. He went to everybody. All of the mainstream...
Got access to people you'd never get access to.
AIDS researchers, yep, all around the world, and asked them, how does this field work? And their, yep, answers were poor, and they started to fall apart. And he said, well, I'm going to dig even deeper.
Houseofnumbers.com. We have the links up at robertscottbell.com, liamsheff.com, who was in the film as well, if you didn't already know that. And, of course, I want to thank Neville Hodgkinson, as well as Christian Fiala, Dr. Fiala. And, of course, those two from where? Perth, Australia, that we brought on via the film.
Yeah, Val and Eleni. We were able to talk to Val and to include some of their material from the new documentary, The Emperor's New Virus, and to listen to them in their own words explain their interest and their curiosity. You know, they sound much saner. The bad guys, the mainstream, will say, oh, they're terrible, they're awful, they're Holocaust denialists. And then Eleni says, no, we can just describe what they said, and we don't think that it's sufficient. We don't think it means anything.
Mm-hmm.
Very down-to-earth approach, very rigorous, and to use a word, scientific.
Yeah, exactly. So where do we go from here? I think, really, these so-called scientists, and we would say that with an asterisk, desperately need us to remain ignorant, desperately need us to stop asking these questions, to ignore them and just pretend that they are demigods of some kind, so that they can continue raping, pillaging, and burning the taxpayers of America, much less those people that have tested positive for what? Anything and everything, including pregnancy, and then given this HIV supposed death sentence and put on drugs that do induce death. And these are the things that have to be spoken. They cannot be talked about in the old media, because any reporters that used to be reporters or investigative journalists find themselves out of a job if they report on the things that we report on in the way we report on them, Liam.
And let's throw in another report there for good measure. Hey, we're both a little punchy after this. I mean, this is heavy stuff. It requires a little bit of brain attention and to go through the material. And so people shy away from it. So I want to really recommend, I don't get any kickbacks from this at all. Believe me, I don't.
Neither of us on this.
Neither of us. I just really recommend that people go and watch House of Numbers. There is a special edition. If you know anybody, anywhere who's ever tested HIV positive, get the special edition. It has bonus documentaries, including an HIV 101, which is just so excellent. And that's going to be coming out in the next months as well, mm-hmm, on HD, streaming on the web. But get this in hand, put it in the hand of somebody and say, look, I know somebody gave you this death sentence years ago, but it's time to start thinking about your actual health, not the oogie boogie thing that they, the pointing stick that they gave to you. On the other hand, on the mainstream side, you have guys like this. Who do you want to trust?
I think my scientific reasoning was perfectly correct. But I was deluding myself nonetheless.
Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss.
Say no more, say no more. We're going to sign off today, and all of the links are up at robertscottbell.com, including to the video now free on that segment of The Emperor's New Virus. Thank you for being here. The power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott the Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.